thank you all for being here today, and I appreciate the opportunity to stand before you once again in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I do ask an interest in your prayers. It's been put upon my heart in order to attempt to start a series, if you will, basically on the family and different portions of the family. And so, however many of there might be, I'm not quite sure at this point, but I would like to talk about the family today. And I think it's a very important thing that we do, and that we lift up families, and that we, because there are many intricate reasons that the Lord has designed it this way, first of all. It's within His purpose and His plan, and it's within His design, the way things are. And today, you know, we do live in what I believe to be the extreme latter day, and we're finding where the family is under assault in many ways, as we look at many things we may, each of us, say, you know, I seen this piece of information in the news or across the web or something or other that's rather, you know, trying to chip away or to erode at the foundation of the family. And the gospel of Christ is all about lifting up the family. And you're going to hear today where I'm going to tell you now that I believe that the family is also exampled a lot and should be patterned after our gospel family, God's family. The same attributes and power and blessings and miracles and structure we will find within God's family, within our gospel family, the body of Christ. There is something I've seen of interest, and I'd have to say maybe a little on the discouraging side that I got in the mail, and it's basically from the Alliance Defense Fund. And of course, yes, they're probably looking for a few dollars to come back their way, you know. But I have had, they've sent me things before, and they are doing a good work, and they're trying to uphold Christian value in this country for Christians, I think even around the world too. But they're trying to, there is a radical group trying to abolish the National Day of Prayer. And this is on the forefront of legal matters at this time. There's even actually a lawsuit that has been filed, and they said that the National Day of Prayer, it says, which will be commemorated this year on May 6th, and they're asking everyone that if you're concerned about it, that you voice your opinion about it in whatever shape or form, maybe to congressman, senator, or this looks like it's going to be right in the courts itself, and you know, I believe that it was Thomas Jefferson that said that evil will prosper when good men do nothing. And you know, the other thing that he also said, once they signed the Declaration of Independence, all of them, and they were talking about they pledged their lives and their honor and their fortunes and all these things, you know, to the upholding of this newfounded country in Christ. And they also said, we'd all better hang together, because if we don't hang together, we will surely hang separately. And, you know, we need to take a look at, we might say, and I have said this many times myself, that we're not holding back God's time clock one second, as far as where the stage is today. And the stage, I believe, is being set. Signs and wonders have been shown and are continuing to be known for the coming of Christ. And on the threshold of the tribulation, as time is going to be unlike any other in history, this tribulation that is that is, I believe, upon us. And people say, well, we've talked about those things ever since we were children. And that's true, and we've heard them. But you've also heard me make the point, too, that we're no further away. Okay? And you and I both know that we have seen things. We've discussed them, and we've placed them in the file card of our mind upon fulfilled prophecy to the latter time. And so, but yet, the Lord expects us to uphold values and statutes and His judgments, and the things that are good and holy, and prayer is certainly one of them. Now, we may make the statement, well, you know something? They can't stop me from praying by myself. They can't stop me from praying in my closet. Can't stop me from, you know, the children from praying within their hearts and minds in schools, even though that they don't have a collective time of prayer. Some may still, if you know, in agreement. But yet the Lord still expects us to uphold what we know to be true, and not to let things erode and the foundation of what we know to be true. And this nation itself, we know, is a fulfillment of His prophecy and revelation, being set up as a free people upon this continent and then within this time frame. And as we were even studying on our Wednesday night about where the Gentiles were going to receive that gospel, and then the time when the Gentiles is going to be fulfilled, and that time is going to be where his people, and that's the children of Israel, are going to be. There's going to be the foundation and bulwark of Zion, that restored gospel come unto them, and we're in that time frame today. But yet, even though we see things that we know to be fulfillment of many things in the Scriptures, let us not make the mistake of not standing up for what we know to be true. And you say, well, how can we do that? Well, your opinions, first of all, the hearts and minds of the people. And to know what your opinion is and to stand for it. I made the comment in passing to one of our brothers before service started today, you know, to be ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within you. And so, the family is very a very important thing, and I'd like to start there this day. And like I said, we find it under attack in many ways when we find it's not that people's lives aren't important, that there are many forms of families that aren't the usual norm that have been for centuries or thousands of years. Today, we find different forms for different reasons. And I believe that there are different combinations of the standard family today because of the erosion of the foundation that's not being upheld even in our own country today because of laws and statutes and people reasoning away relative morality, they call it, relative morality. Isaiah said, woe unto them that call good evil and evil good. And are we in that process today? We could go through a whole list of things. You could inform me of so many lists of things that are on that same note. Why the family is under attack, how the foundation is not being upheld. And so we gotta find where it's rather a military tactic. The military tactic of the evil one, in order to be able to knock the underpinnings of the foundation out from underneath the family, in order to be able to divide. We were talking this morning, even in our Sunday school, where even technology and new things coming along are working to even segregate people. Or even, you know, I even have a cell phone which is being used for, I try to use for good and for communication and email for communication. Some people talk about Twitter and different types of things. There's texting, people texting with their hands and with their feet while they're driving, and but seems to work to segregate people, doesn't it? And maybe, and once I made the comment about myself, where do I need to watch where I send emails when I should be calling and talking to someone personally? Or has even the telephone come to where I didn't go to them face to face? And so are things coming to where they are getting to separate people, to where, and even so, when we look at the family and where are people getting to be segregated and separate, and there is the teaching of self. They even put out a magazine called Self, where everyone needs to find themselves. People need to find what they particularly need to do in this life. And what are my goals? Or what are, you know, what are my features like? How do I look even in this pair of clothes? Well, you want to know what God thinks about even the clothes that we wear? Well, he tells us, it's about, I believe it's 2 Peter, it says, adorning ourselves as those professing righteousness. Kind of gives us a flavor, doesn't it, too? But where we look even the type of houses people buy today, I think that I might want a different house in order to be able to accomplish different things within my own design. Yes, I have my own piece of the house to set up for my office. Yes, it's a mess. I need to do a little better job organizing it. But regardless of the matter, where people want the ambition of buying the new house today is to almost have a room for every mood, where I have to have my space for my time, for my ambitions, you see, working to segregate. In time past, for necessity's sake probably, you and I also always, you and I know that there's a story in each of our families that we know of a friend or family or whatever that had this two-room house, and they had probably 8 to 10 children, including mom and dad. We've all got that story. You could all tell me one like that. I've got mine. And in other words, they were all together, and they were all there as a family unit, and all pulling that the family unit would stay together. We find that we have it so good today that even though we say a hard time today, we look during the times of the depression, and I listen to the stories of my ancestors, how great of blessings and miracles, and when times were tough, when times were hard, and there was divine intervention for the faithful. And they had it hard. They may have lived in small houses and so on, but the character of the people were built because of adversity. And yes, I've learned lessons through, you know, adversity. There were things that I wanted to do, and I asked the Lord about it. Very hard and difficult things, but I wanted an answer. And the Lord answered, and it was tough medicine, but it was an answer, and I realized it was the right one. As I said before, it's a good thing the Lord doesn't give us absolutely everything that we ask for sometimes, because we ask for things that we maybe shouldn't. Best thing to ask, you know, yes, Lord, I think this is the way that I Well, I'd like to approach with you this problem, but you know the wisest way to make it work out. But once again, we're talking about the family. And I would say that there is the teaching of self today, and a person needs to accomplish themselves. But what did Jesus teach? If we're looking at the gospel family, and once again, I believe that we need to look at our gospel family as the way our home families are and should be about. The same pattern, the same God, the same gospel. And what did Jesus teach? Well, he taught us to, yes, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then these other blessings will be added to us, right? But what were the two great commandments in the law? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and might. The second is like unto the first, but love thy neighbor as thyself. Okay? And so with that recipe gives us a lot of outlook on togetherness. And you know something? When I think it is a great thing that there's a lot of talk goes on before the service. Well, talk between services. And there's a lot more goes on out in the parking lot after service too, with our congregation. I think that's great. We need to know what each other's lives are all about. How can we know what the body of Christ is about? How can we know where the problems are? How can we know where we can help with other people or someone else can help with us unless we know about their lives? Who better to share issues with than those that are genuinely interested in your well-being? Well, we know God has our best interest at heart, and God loves us, and God wants us to share everything with Him. But you know, He's provided the body of Christ. And so we take a look at the family and the home. The family and the home and the atmosphere should be such that it is a haven, and we need to create that haven that the family does not feel that they need to go to other sources in order to be able to take care of issues or problems. But that should be a haven and not a battleground. You know? We all look to one another and we know that there could be contention in homes. Each of us can have a piece of it. And we all know our situations. But we know if we pattern ourselves after the body of Christ and the gospel of Christ, that we know we're on solid ground, don't we? That is the truth. We look to the attitude in which we to our brothers and sisters. We look to one another here. And we want to treat one another with love and with kindness and with respect. And the best that we know how, and even to talk to one another, we would want to tell everyone the best things that are within my heart. Or in your heart. Do we take that same attitude with us to our homes and to our families? And do we care for them with that same sort of gospel love and beloved and knowledge? And caring for one another. I would like to take a look at the book of Ephesians in the 4th chapter. Ephesians in the 4th chapter. And we'll be coming back to Ephesians a couple times. But I'd like to use a verse that's in there. And verse 16, Ephesians 4 and 16. Now, we've been talking about the body of Christ here. Talk about the necessity of many parts of the body of Christ, talking about ministry that is in the body in order to help and to teach and to minister of gifts and so on, and covenants. And what I would like, but there is the necessity of each person in the body of Christ. Verse 16 says, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Okay, they're talking about the body of Christ here. They're talking about the congregation. And what about the family? Can that still apply to the family? Well, absolutely. Absolutely. Everybody in the congregation, we would not tell, and the Lord would not say, you go away, and we don't need you. Or because, you know, boy, you messed up. And you've done something very distasteful or hurtful or whatever the matter. The Lord would not say, now you go away now. But he would look to help and to lift him up. And I believe that's what the Lord talks about. As a matter of fact, that... let's go over into 1 Corinthians in the 12th chapter for a moment. Remember Ephesians 4. We'll be coming back there. 1 Corinthians 12th chapter. And I'd like to start basically in verse 15. Actually 14. For the body is not one member, but many. And if the foot shall say, behold, I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is therefore not of the body? Or if the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? And if the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? And now hath God set members, every one of them, in the body as it pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more of these members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary. And you know, there can be issues that come into, you know, the body of Christ, where maybe weakness occurs in some fashion or shape, but we should surround them, and we do. If there are issues, and we could talk about that, and we know that we have tried to do that. Same way with the family, that we would surround them and try to help them. We wouldn't want to cast them off to say, "Now you go away now." Yeah, we know sometimes there's matters of we say tough love, but we would not abandon them. God does not abandon us. The same pattern, once again, if it's just like I say that, and I hope this is the way that it's exhibited as I talk to or help to in the ministry, that I would like to treat someone how I would have the Lord treat me. And as he talks about here in the 32nd verse of Ephesians 4, at the very tail end of the chapter, be kind one to another and tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And so he gives me, it also poses a question to me too. Do I do the same for others? I have no excuse. And so I hope that more I may even season in my, not only ministry, but in my Christianity. How as I stand as a Christian person, as a believer in Christ. That should matter. We can't say that we have no need of another. We're talking about maybe the body of Christ, but I want you to think about the family. Where families need about sticking together and upholding, you know, one another. And that they're all necessary. And the Lord has designed it that way. And there are husbands and wives and children. And sometimes that's not always so, but it may be just husbands and wives. Because of whatever reasons or conditions and so on. And at this time in our life, it's husband and wife, and the children have gone on to have their husbands, wives, and children, you know? And we won't get into that age range. You know, I've got my gray hairs too. I've earned them. But it doesn't mean, even though, okay, we participate in the body of Christ, and that's God's family. Now, what did Jesus say? Once again, you remember when he was preaching inside the house, and they come in and they said, you know, your mother and your brethren are outside. And they basically, I think, thought that he was going to stop what he was doing and go out there. Now, I believe all my heart that he cared, he loved his mother, and he loved his brethren, you know, with that earthly type of love. But he was trying to teach the new covenant and what the gospel family is about. And he says, who are my mother and my brethren but those keep the commandments of my Father? Remember? So we should be very, you know, caring and very concerned about all members, the body of Christ, and of our families. And so I believe that it's just as important as he talks about in Corinthians. We can't say that the one is more, you know, important. We have even different jobs and things in our families. Like I said, there are fathers and there are reasons there are fathers. There are mothers and there are reasons that there are mothers. There are children and there are reasons that there are children in God's own planning and God's own design. And they can't take the place of the parents, even though sometimes children may have more sense than the parents out there today. Maybe in all points of time. And sometimes God even speaks through the little children. It says so in the Book of Mormon. It says that your children, or little children, have been given things. And I've seen that, and you've seen that too. Where they're given things because of their innocence and their belief and many times faith. You know, and which teaches something that we should be about, teaching them and exempting them faith. Which leads me to talking about God's laws. You know, we have, first of all, while you're looking for Deuteronomy in the 6th chapter, remember Ephesians, because we'll be back there, Deuteronomy in the 6th chapter. And we have a very important example. Okay, very important example. And we've discussed this before in our sermons where the children of Israel had come out and they were, the Lord had always taught them, commanded them that you make sure and read these statutes and judgments and laws that I've given you. You make sure you teach them to the people. You make sure you bring the book of the law out again. And I want you to go through it again. And I want you to read it before the people again. And especially before they went into the promised land, by that time, we know, and we've all talked about this, that there was only two that were even worthy to go in. And so what about the rest that were to go in? They were the next generation, and they hadn't seen what all went out of Egypt. They hadn't seen the crossing of the Red Sea. It was a new generation that went over. And the others, he talks about in the book of Hebrews, that they fell in the desert, by the way, many of them, because of disobedience, okay? And so they needed to know, and this was the next generation going in. They didn't see all the power of the Lord. I'm going to tell you what, you know, there's we have faith, and we know we must walk by faith, and so on. But I'm sure that sight did a whole lot when they seen the pillar of fire by night and the cloud by day. Remember we mentioned that in our Wednesday night, the pillar of fire by night and the cloud by day, where the Lord led them. And when you see walls of water on both sides, and you're walking through dry shod, that's got to do something for you. And when the Lord takes and He sends manna in order to take care of you, or the quail, that's got to do something for you. When He healed all the people, when He put the serpent on the pole, and all He needed to do was to look, and they could live. And many did not. So once again, because of disobedience, lack of faith, we see a lot of those examples as we do today about living by faith and exampling that in our families, that if the finances, if the car's low on gas, you don't have the money to be putting in it, or where are the bills going to be paid, or, you know, some people don't have a certain place to live. And exampling that, and there are families out there, I'm telling you what, we've all felt the effects even of a recession today. But I feel very, very blessed. We've felt it too. But you know something? There are families out there that don't have a place to go. There are families out there that don't have jobs. There's families out there that don't have the money. They have each other. They say that it's only a recession when you're laid off, but it's a depression when I'm laid off. You ever heard that one? Well, we hear some mighty and wonderful miracles when there are times of adversity. And that affliction can be a blessing. So we've heard testimony. And the Lord had told them here, and I would like to read in Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, verse 1, basically. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and commandments, which I command thee, thou, and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. Now, not only does the Lord's commandments bring, there's health, there's practical things that He's taught them, even about their manner of diet, the things you should and shouldn't eat. There's reasons, too. There are biological things that about families, about marrying kinsmen near to you that the Lord instituted at that time, because the gene pool at that time has become polluted. Adam and Eve were created perfect, but man is on his way down, contrary to evolutionary belief. He's not on his way up, he's actually on his way down. And so the Lord at this time, for practical reasons, had shown them. But you'll be blessed if you keep them. If we keep the Lord's commandments, that we will be blessed that way, because of obedience. And we teach our children, you know, you do these things. This is why, and the Lord's always taught us why. And many children, we ask why. I ask why. If I know I've got I've always asked the word why, I think myself. And the Lord's always explained that. And I know the Lord Jesus Christ is very patient with His children. I know He's been very patient with me. And so we teach what the Lord's commandments and blessings are. Hear, O therefore, Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, that ye might increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Now, we know He may be talking about the promised land, that they're going to go over Jordan, they're going to go possess it. The land of milk and honey. It was the land what? That was promised to Abraham. It was a land of milk and honey. Now, let me ask you a question. Can we deny that we live on a land of milk and honey today? Do we have a land of opportunity, even though we see turmoil in whatever fashion? We still live in a land of milk and honey, and the Lord expects us to do with what He's given us and to praise Him for what He is, how He's blessed us as well, and lift Him up. We go to Him plenty of times when things are wrong. Do we go to Him when times are good and praise Him? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with thy soul, with all thy might. Jesus reiterated the same thing, repeated it, didn't He? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with thy soul, with all thy might. These words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Do we find that? Do we take ample opportunity to pray together with our families? That's a question only you can ask, or maybe something that we seriously, each of us, need to check out. And we got to be careful too that, you know, we may be in a restaurant and in public, and some may make the excuse, are we not praying even over our food in Thanksgiving in a restaurant, that you don't have to pray for someone to know that I'm a Christian? Are we using that for an excuse not to witness of the Lord Jesus Christ? We got to be careful of those things. And if we are with our families, who sees that? The children. They see that. Should they see father and mother kneeling before the Lord and who they owe their allegiance to? Once again, if we're teaching the Lord's commandments instead of our opinions, we are on solid rock and solid foundation, and we got a backup, don't we? You bet your boots. The Lord's the wisest counselor there ever was, and He's got reasons for everything He's done what He's done. Very, very practical ones. Now, just like you would tell your child, just like the Lord tells us in many ways in our life as adults, don't go run out to the road because you're going to get run over. Okay, it does two things. Number one, you're physically probably not going to get run over if you don't go out and lay down in the middle of the road. And there was a young man when I was that was the local dare. Don't look at me, I didn't do it. But we know of a fellow in the neighborhood that would go out and sit in the middle of the road, not even look for cars. Okay. Second thing it does is that your parents see that you obeyed what you did. Also builds trust. I also know about your ability to take instruction. And also responsibilities can be given for faithful obedience to what you had accomplished then by simple tasks, by small means. Fit for the master's use, as the scripture says. And when thou risest up, when thou bind them for a sign upon thine hand, they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and upon thy gates. And it shall be when the Lord thy God hath brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not. I always wondered I have to make mention here there's a word that Brother Mike, I love his the way he preaches. He'll use the word goodly a lot, and I can't remember where he got it out of the scriptures. But he does a good, real good job. And houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells dig which thou diggest not, and vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, and what thou shalt have eaten be full. Then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And you know, we have the same likeness today. The Lord's brought you out of bondage. There is the bondage of sin. And sin keeps coming around like a healthy club, beating you over the head once again in ignorance. that we refuse to give up and learn from. And his house is full of good things. And, you know, as the Lord told the prophet Haggai about going up and building the house of the Lord, he says, you put your money into a bag full of holes. Why? Because you're not doing what you should be doing. You're not obeying the Lord and the things that you should be about. Kind of sounds like how the tax man comes around to the paycheck about every week or every other week, however you get paid, or at the end of the year when you need to give an accounting of your life, doesn't it? I don't want to bring up that painful thing of tax time, but that kind of sounds like that, doesn't it? And give to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, but we got to be careful, you know, that there are many things that Caesar is doing today that are against the Lord, and we better not be partaking in it. And I don't think the Lord means that we need to adhere to the statutes and judgments that Caesar is rendering today. We got to be careful that we do not go against the law of the Lord, because, you know, there's also a mark that's supposed to be coming in this tribulatory time. We got to be careful. It's going to tie us to a false religion. It's going to call it to a false belief. It's going to tie us to a system where you're not going to be able to buy or sell. I made this reference before, and I'm not going to, it's not a quiz or whatever, how many cards do you have in your wallet? You know, if you threw away all your cards, where's your bank account? Or how could you actually turn in your Social Security number? Go ahead, try to do it. It's already a number. But I'm not going to go there. So with the Lord saying how important it is, we need to teach ourselves. And you know something, what's a real neat thing? That when you teach someone else how much you learn yourself. I may have even a basic format when I'm teaching from the pulpit, but I'm gonna share something with you. I've learned a lot of things while I'm preaching, teaching, because the Spirit of the Lord, first of all, is to be delivering the message. There's a lot of things that I learned. And so, as you are preaching, or when you're, yes, could be preaching to our children, and so on, that we learn, even ourselves. As we all turn our hearts to Jesus Christ, who needs to be in the center of that home. Jesus Christ needs to be in the center of that home. And so, now back in the book of Ephesians, in the fourth chapter, and in the second verse, he tells us, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. All right. We all know that we need patience. You know, he's talking about the body of Christ. We need patience one with another. You know, we all have difference in our characteristics, in our talents, in our mannerisms. And sometimes, you know, we've got to be careful that it's not so much what is said, but how it's said. You know? And, boy, I need your prayers. Could you imagine things that, I'm always asking your prayers for the ministry, because imagine some of the things that we need to help people with. You know, you certainly need your prayers on long suffering and forbearing, you know, one another in love. But once again, in our families, that, yeah, you know, sometimes there is times when we need to go to different corners of the house for a while. And I'm not trying to pick on the wives, but and actually, I'm going to use this on both ends. It's better for one person to dwell in the corner of a rooftop than with a brawling spouse in a wide house. Okay? It says so in Proverbs. And so, because you'll not catch me trying to be chauvinist, because Number one, it'll get me in a whole lot of trouble. But number two, the Lord don't teach it. The Lord doesn't teach it. And when we get into talking about husbands and wives, and as a matter of fact, we were reading about that this morning, where there's equal respect. Because there's individual, you know, things that husbands do and wives do. And for many very important, intricate, and strategic reasons that the Lord has designed. And they shouldn't be mixed for those very same strategic reasons and spiritual ones. Absolutely. Now, I would like to take and to... Let's go to Psalms 127. I've just got a couple of scriptures I'd like to give to you. Psalms 127. And I'm going to read the first verse, because the rest of it I'll probably be using in a following sermon, because we're going to be going through husbands, wives, and children as well. And so he says, the Lord says, except the Lord build a house, they labor it in vain that build it. And except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Very wise piece of information there. The Lord Jesus Christ needs to be the center of the home. And the example, we model its example in how the home operates. And once again, in prayer, in obedience, and once again, example. Now, I every family, well, I shouldn't say every family, most families have either a patriarch or a matriarch. There are strong, faithful, either husbands or wives, or within a clan, it could be grandpa or grandma. But we need to consider that there are to be looked up to be modeled after, and it takes to heart, and so that each person can see that. Now we even take a look at Abraham, and he got to be quite a clan. Remember, when he left his land, he left everything he knew there in Ur of the Chaldees and went off into another land, okay, over into Hebron. Probably why they called him a Hebrew, Abraham the Hebrew. Remember, he took Lot with him, and he cared for Lot. He loved Lot. He even went and he helped save Lot. Remember when Lot was taken captive? Of course, Lot needed to find out the hard way about being saved when he went and did his own thing and his own decision to go over into Sodom and Gomorrah to live there. And that was his own choices. Even though the Lord loved him and Abraham was, I'm sure, praying for him. Abraham was probably the patriarch in that family. And we find once again that it can be that there is a strong lady. I've seen many wonderful strong ladies that are matriarchs in the family. You know, my great grandmother, very strong person in the Flint local, gathering people, wonderful poor person. My grandmother, same way, just like Timothy. I believe like Timothy. My mother, very strong, faithful person. And we look in the Book of Mormon, when there was the 2,000 stripling soldiers that Lehi had taken into battle, and they had prepared themselves by sanctification and prayer to defend their liberty and their honor. And they said they knew what the Lord and His statutes and His laws were about. Why? Because their mothers had taught them, it says. Yeah, you see? Paul told Timothy about Lois and Eunice, how they were, that the same faith that was in them, he says, I see it in you too. So we see the value of a strong of a leader in that home to lead that others may follow. The Lord provides this. And so what is going to be your legacy in your home? What is going to be your heritage in your home? Something for you to think about. What is it? How do people view you? Can people come to you for that counsel? Can they see that witness? Can they see that example? What example is it? You know, it's something for us to consider. I can't know the insides of your homes, how you live your lives. But others can see those things. And God wants you to build your heritage in your home. Now, there's one other scripture that I'd like to give to us, and that's in 1 Corinthians in the 2nd chapter. In the 12th verse. And the statement I would like to make that we need to invite the Spirit of the Father and the Son to be a blessing in the home and creating the atmosphere of righteousness, of togetherness, and not separate. Now, even though we may have each of us our individual traits, and you know within the Indian culture that you read about the way their families operated, and they tried to nurture the talents and the good things, not the harmful things that were going to bring destruction to their children, but they tried to nurture what they seemed to be good and the talent that was going to be in that child. And if we look in a lot of history too, they used to use, there was a lot of the wise women in the tribe for leaders too. They'd be the most compassionate because they wouldn't want to see their children killed, I'm sure, in battle. And so they would make wise decisions. But we invite the Holy Spirit to prevail. You know, when we, it was a very important thing, you know, when we were overseas and we'd come into a home. And you know, so the people that invited us there, they didn't have much, but boy, they put the best out there. And it may have only been a bottle of pop and a bowl of pork rinds. I'm serious. They like pork rinds. But it was the best that they had. And then, you know what? They wanted a blessing on their home. They wanted us to ask a blessing on the home. The Spirit of the Lord God Almighty would prevail and be a blessing on that home. There's a lot of reasons we're willing to get into today where the Spirit of the Lord needs to be upon the home to protect. And all I'm going to say is from adverse spiritual activity, because that is very real. Don't ever say it's not. We've got many stories of that. But I would like to take and read verse 12. We have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, that God's Spirit may prevail to teach, to lead, to model, to example, to lead in our homes. And so I thank you for your time, for your love, and for your prayers. Sister?